Welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway?
You've been listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk.
Welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show.
Well, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. And here are your hosts, HR and customer service expert Denise Harding, and etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as Etiquette Lady Donna Page.
Right.
Good evening. Happy Sunday, and welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Today is Sunday, April 3rd, 2011, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia, where it's been a beautiful day. Well, of course, during this evening show, we will discuss wedding etiquette. I'm Donna Page Raleigh, also known as Etiquette Lady.
And good evening. My name is Denise Harding. I am the HR lady.
Denise, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Donna. Like you said, a beautiful day in very beautiful Atlanta, Georgia.
Absolutely. Well, guys, as you all know, we've been on hiatus for a little bit, but we are so excited to be back, and we have missed you guys. And we're coming back with a different format. We're going to be on today for 30 minutes. We'll finish up at 7 p.m. But we're so excited about talking about wedding etiquette. So before we jump into that, let's go ahead and give you our contact information. You can contact us at 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295, or, of course, you may email us, as some of you have already done. And our email address is etiquetteladies@gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Well, Denise.
Yes,
we know since our show is titled with the question, of course, we must provide an answer each week. So for you guys out there listening to us for the first time, we'd like to say welcome. And also we'd like to answer the question what etiquette is. And, of course, etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior. And by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. And I know that's what I would definitely like. Now, the word etiquette itself comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So that is the background and history of where the word etiquette came from. Now, you guys, hopefully, we have to apologize up front because I have been dealing with sinus issues. We have so much pollen here in Georgia, and it has been really a challenge over the last few weeks. So hopefully I can get through the show today without coughing too much and clearing my throat too much, but, you know, hopefully that will be the case, but if not, let me apologize in advance, all right? Now, Denise, of course, we have realized that the last holiday, which was Valentine's Day, a lot of people got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not really know exactly what to do right at this moment, or they may be starting that particular process of planning a wedding, and we want to be able to give you guys some tips today if that is indeed the case. We want to kind of help you along this journey, and we want to help you eliminate as much stress as possible. And a way for you to eliminate a lot of the stress is to have proper planning. So that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about is proper planning. And also, Denise, we have a special guest that is going to be joining us as well, Ms. Campbell Daniels, and she is the owner of the Head Table, and she is going to discuss the importance of decorating for that special formal event, whether it's a wedding or just any formal event. So we're going to talk about that because that is a very important component of formal events. We'll talk about planning on a budget and things of that nature as well. And so for you, those of you that may be out there, you know, trying to kind of muddle your way through to determine exactly what you should be doing, usually, you know, what you want to do is in your planning stage, one of the first things that you want to do is to determine your budget. Determine what type of wedding that you want and how much you realistically want to spend or how much you realistically can spend. Because there is a difference, right, Denise?
Yes, it is.
Between wanting to and what's really set before you. So you definitely want to do that. In addition to that, you want to attend some bridal shows, because if you attend bridal shows, these shows are loaded with just a variety of ideas. And also you want to be sure to register. They have a registrations and they give away prizes. And I know one bride that I worked with when I used to do wedding planning, she attended one of the bridal fairs, and she and her husband won a full one-week honeymoon trip. So that was just wonderful. So do stop by those tables and fill out those drawing cards. That's really important. Of course, some other things you want to do is you want to reserve a ceremony and a reception site as well. And you might think, well, this is a lot of work, and it really is, especially depending on how formal you want your wedding to be. You might want to hire some help, and wedding directors are great because they ensure that all the bases, you know, are covered for you. And they can certainly make numerous suggestions for you to consider, so they can kind of let you know what all your options are as well. And be sure to select your attendants and ask them to serve. You want to do that in advance. And please take into consideration the height, weight, and ages of your attendants when selecting the bridesmaids' dresses. Denise, have you ever been a bridesmaid?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever been a bridesmaid and you despised the dress?
I think I despised all of them that I wore.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about that for a second. And you hear people all the time talking about bridesmaid dresses that they can never wear again. So what was one of the reasons?
And the fact that they have to pay so much money for them.
Yes, that is also true. And so brides-to-be, you do want to take that into consideration, if you would, that hopefully you would select a dress that can be actually worn for another event. And try to make sure that you work around your bridesmaid budget as well. That is really important. That's just being really considerate. But you hear the bridesmaid stories about these dresses that they felt were absolutely hideous. So, you know, you do want to kind of look at a couple. And like I said before, you want to take into consideration, you know, the height, the weight, you know, what the dresses, if the dresses will look pretty appropriate on each one of your bridesmaids and their body style and so on and so forth. So you definitely want to do that. And then make a list of a recommended or secure a list, I guess I should say, of recommended musicians and caterers and photographers and videographers, florists, DJs. You want to definitely schedule a time to interview them and look at some of their work. Okay, it's really important. And after you confirm your vendors, avoid financial surprises by securing written contracts that detail the service charges, taxes, and all the special fees. And that is just really important to do that because usually when you're planning weddings, it's an emotional time and you're excited and you're anxious and all of that. So you want to try to have a clear head or definitely work with a wedding director that's going to be able to kind of have that clear head and the emotions are not necessarily attached because you're going to, especially depending on, you know, how flamboyant, if you will, you want your wedding to be. You definitely want to go into that, you know, knowing your options and being able to curtail. And what we'll do, we'll pick up in a second and kind of talk about what you should do. Most people say that they plan weddings 12 months out. So we'll kind of talk about that. That's your basic planning stages. And we'll come back and kind of look at 4 to 6 months and 3 months and, you know, the week before and so on and so forth. I want to bring on our special guest and because decorations are really important. And a lot of times we kind of get so caught up in the other things like the frill of the dress and the bridesmaids' dresses and so on and so forth, and we kind of leave that to kind of toward the end. So, hello.
Hi, Donna.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Can you tell everyone who you are, please?
Hi, this is Sherelle Campbell-Daniels. I'm with the head table.
We are so excited to talk to you. And I'm sure, Sherelle, this must be, well, I guess, can you say hello to Denise? I'm sorry.
Oh, hi, Denise.
How you doing, Cheryl? Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Now, I bet for you, Sherelle, 'tis the season. This is probably your season.
Yes, it is.
Talk about that.
We're really busy with a lot of weddings right now. And for your show today, when you asked me about talking about wedding etiquette and decorations are one of the most important things for brides, but for some reason it's one of the last things that they take care of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where the list is, but your wedding etiquette and your decorations are very important because the way your wedding will look has all to do with how you decorate and what you present to your guests, because everyone that comes to your wedding is a guest at your wedding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I had talked to you about, Donna, earlier was one of my strong pet peeves with weddings and decorations, and that would be paper products. One of the things when you have your wedding is that you're demonstrating you are a host and a hostess. And if you're having a formal wedding, you should have formal dinnerware. Plasticware is good if you want to serve for your cake, but for your wedding, it's an expense. And I know that, you know, we have the economy's kind of bad right now, but that is one of the things that I would like for brides to really consider is that they serve their guests on china. It doesn't have to be expensive china. The party rental stores do have, you know, a basic white china pattern that you can use. But that is something I strongly would recommend for brides.
Mm-hmm. What about, because I got an email, it says, with the economy being under constraints and planning on a shoestring budget, what can I skimp on? They have very nice chinette plates. They're very sturdy. Would this be okay?
Well, I do see a lot of brides going for that option, but for me, I guess maybe I'm old school, and I just think that that's just one of those things that you don't skimp on. If you're in a tight budget, maybe you might skimp on chair covers. You know, maybe the chairs at the venue that you choose are acceptable. So that may be an area that you may balance out. Maybe you do a buffet versus a plated meal, because your caterer charges you versus, you know, having to serve each one of your guests versus your guests walking up to a buffet table. So those are some of the things that you may want to negotiate as far as not serving plate meal service buffet. But I always think, you know, you should really serve your guests on china because it's not a barbecue. You're not outside. So the only time that you use those paper products usually are for those type of events.
So in other words, you're saying that quite naturally, if you have a formal affair, in order for it to be formal, is to also have formal placeware. And it sounds like if you attend a wedding that, you know, does it, and they may have skimped and have the dinette, chinette plate, mm-hmm. hard paper plate, sounds like you would be willing to call the etiquette police on this. So,
okay.
So quite naturally, we would hate to have to call in the wedding etiquette police. So, what is wonderful, Sherelle. We appreciate that. And a lot of times, and I'm definitely wanted you on today because, you know, like you mentioned too, a lot of times that's the last thing people are thinking of because they're so busy, you know, thinking about the dress, mm-hmm. where they're going to have it, making sure, mm-hmm. you know, they have all the bridesmaids and the groomsmen secured. And then, you know, when you confirm your food, well, okay, what is it going to be served on? So,
right.
In other words,
exactly. What is it going to be served on? You know, what I see a lot of brides skimping on, like, even their linen
mm-hmm.
in this economy. But those are the things that I always say when you get your pictures back from your photographer, they're all your photos of your decor. It is that's mm-hmm. all your photos. They're not photos of your buffet. They're photos of your dress, you know, all your formal pictures. But most of your photos are of your reception. So
uh-huh.
you as energy to the reception as you put into the wedding. And like I say, even on a budget, you can actually get a full place setting from most party rental stores for about $2.10. So
mm-hmm.
if you have a guest, that's about $200. So that's a $200 investment that will make your guests feel like you went that extra step to make them feel welcome.
That is great. You might repeat that again because a lot of times, you know you're going to have your pictures, but
right.
say that again. Say that again. Repeat mm-hmm. that about the reception. And you're right. That's where the majority of your photos are taken is during the reception.
It's taken at the reception. So when you skimp on items for the reception, those things are visible. You'll see that in your photo. You don't think about it now, but when you get your photos, if you don't put anything on your table, if you don't do favors for your guests, I mean, just the little touches that you can do, there's some little touches that you can do. You definitely could call me or come, you know, make an appointment with me, and that will enhance your wedding because you want your guests to feel welcome. Just like if they come to your home, when you have guests coming to your home, you clean your house, you put out your fine china, you give them your best. So your wedding should be no less than what you would do
mm-hmm.
if they were coming to your home for a dinner.
Wow. That's a great
question. I have a question about, actually it's an email, and the person is asking, and I don't know if you deal with the bride and the groom, the parents, or what have you,
mm-hmm.
who should pay for what? I know that go ahead.
I'm sorry. A long time ago, it was always up to the bride family to pay for a wedding. In this economy, a lot of times brides and grooms, they pay for their own wedding. So it varies, and it depends on people's economic status. Some people can afford it. Some parents can afford it. Some brides and grooms are making more than their parents these days. So they take on that responsibility. So it's not a set rule anymore as to who should pay for different things. I mean, there's still some rules that were set a long time ago. Like I said, the groom pays for the honeymoon. The parents pay for the rehearsal dinner. So there are still some, you know, fast and loose rules out there, but it's up to you and your family as far as where your economic status is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to hear that because oftentimes I think there may be discussions as to who is going to pay for what. So thank you for that answer.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We're going to see if we can pull in one of our callers. And I thank you all for waiting so patiently. Extension 3935. Hello? Extension 3935. Hello, can you hear me? Okay, they may just be listening, which is fine as well. But well, very good point. Let's talk a little bit about kind of what you do 4 to 6 months before the wedding. And usually you want to begin shopping for your wedding dress, and you also want to have the mothers select their dresses as well. And, of course, tradition says that generally the mother of the bride should have the first choice for the dress. And then the grooms and the groomsmen attire, it should really be also selected at that time, and select the invitations, just, you know, kind of look at various invitations, and you want to go ahead and get those ordered. And it's a good time to also go ahead and plan the rehearsal dinner as well and get that secured. You're getting into 3 months in advance. You want to establish a gift registry and select your florist, order your cake and invitations, make travel arrangements, and you want to fully arrange and confirm your reception. And, of course, that includes making sure that you secure all of your decorations at that time as well. As Charlotte mentioned, you don't want to leave that for the last thing to do for the last few weeks before the wedding. And once again, I have to reiterate what she said about those lasting memories, those photos. And, of course, you know, that's basically those are your only memories of the event, is to sit down and look at those photos. So that's pretty cool. You want to select your music, finalize your guest list, and address your invitations. Also now, of course, you know, you can register online, and all the bridal registries at the different department stores. And so that's great. 4 to 6 weeks in advance, you generally want to begin mailing your invitations, have a final fitting for the gown, buy a wedding gift for your soon-to-be new hubby, discuss hair and makeup ideas with your stylist, check with the groom about his blood test and marriage license, and then you're looking at about a week before, confirm all your guests. And talking about confirming all your guests, let me back up for a minute. When you receive a wedding invitation, it says RSVP on it, okay? Respondez s'il vous plaît is what that means. That means respond to let them know whether you are coming or not. And a lot of people don't realize the or not part, but you actually send the card back and let them know whether you are coming or not. Very, very important. And that's, you know, simply to make sure that they have counted you in their number for the food. And, of course, if you're planning like a bachelor party or a bachelorette party, you really should have it about a week before. Don't you guys think so?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. The last thing you want is someone to come in late or come in looking real crazy after a night out, of course.
Right.
And you want everybody to be pretty and fresh for the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Coming looking all hungover and all that stuff. That is not cute. We'd have to call the police again on that. Because it is so common, especially for the bachelor party, to be on the night before. And I know I've seen some wedding photos, you know, before in the past, that some of the guys looked real tired because they were, you know. And, of course, you know, the day before, you know, just pamper yourself. Get pampered, have a facial, manicure, pedicure, go to your reception site with your planner and just kind of make sure everything is done. And, of course, on that final day, you know, just relax, take a bath, you know, have your hair done, all those kind of things. Make sure that you guys have packed keys, rings, speeches, if you've written your vow, or make sure you have that. And I must say that please make sure that you send thank you notes within 30 days of the ceremony. Okay? very, very important. And a lot of times, you guys may have spoken with brides that have said, well, gosh, we got so many things and we're so busy. Look, I don't care how busy you are. Take time and write 3 or 4 of those a day if you have to do that, and make sure you get them all out. That is so important. I remember attending a wedding. I think I received a thank you note 5 months later. That's not good etiquette. Okay? It's not good at all. And I think, Denise, you got another email. Is that correct?
On the attire?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I do actually have one, but I have a story to tell as well. It says, this one says, dear ladies, what should a host do when someone shows up to a formal wedding or a reception with blue jeans and a T-shirt on when the invitation clearly says semi-formal attire? How should the...
Call the etiquette police.
So what would you answer that? What would you do? How do you deal with that situation? This person wants to know.
Sherelle, you ever witnessed that?
Well, my honest answer, I would probably either ask them to go get a jacket on, if it's a male, put a jacket on, or probably would ask them to turn them away. Especially if it's an after 6 event, tuxes and long gowns. Like you said, they were told in the invitation it was a black tie or after 6 affair. I would probably have to turn them away based on the wedding address.
Excellent answer, and you are absolutely correct. So, you guys, please make sure that you do that. If it's a formal wedding, and as a matter of fact, you know, if it's a daytime wedding, you know, you can wear something like a light colored suit. You can wear like a fun floral dress or something. In the summertime, of course, light colors, so maybe linen or seersucker, a dress shirt and a tie. And some of the things you don't wear, you usually don't wear white unless it's like white printed, because that's generally for the bride, okay? You don't wear black to a daytime wedding. You don't wear jeans. Anything torn with holes, stains, too big or too small, anything sleeveless or strapless to a religious wedding, you don't want to do that. If you have to wear that, bring a wrap to kind of cover your shoulders. But, well, gosh, I am so glad, Sherelle, you could join us. You've given some great insight. Can you tell everybody how to contact you, please?
You can. My phone number is 678-438-0830, and my website is www.headtable.net.
Great. And you guys, of course, if you don't remember that, of course, you can all of our shows are archived. You can go back and re-listen, and certainly you can contact us, and we will be more than happy to give you her information. Great information. We always like to close our show with a kindness. It says, hi, etiquette ladies. Yesterday my neighbor asked my teenage daughter to babysit her 2-year-old, who is in his terrible twos. She said she would pay her $25. My neighbor is a single parent, and we know things are hard for her. When she came back to pick her baby up, my daughter would not let her pay her because she remembered that she listens to your show and you always talk about initiating a random act of kindness. My neighbor couldn't believe it, and I told her about listening to your show. She was grateful, and my daughter and I felt really good. Thanks for your show. And now both of us look for ways to be kind. And that comes from Deborah and Chantella Spearsty in Houston, Texas. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You guys, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And please, if you would, remember, if you have an etiquette question or etiquette topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, please feel free to let us know. Also, please let your friends and family know about our show and invite them to listen as well. And, of course, after all, what we are trying to do is make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly, write them deep within your heart. And once again, make sure you do at least one act of kindness this week. Thanks again for joining us. Thank you for your calls and emails. Good night, take care, and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we'll discuss another exciting topic.